Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Ringside Chaos, the greatest professional wrestling discussion in the history of the world. The only place where pro wrestling is taught through an educational perspective as well as a love and a passion for it. My name, of course, is Alex Alcazaz, a.k.a. the Bear of Texas. Let's not waste any more time. Mark freaking Braverman. And Mark, this is the start of our new program here on the show, Worst Wrestling Matches Ever. And of course, any time that you're on the show, it's dedicated to the memory of your younger brother, Jeffrey Braverman. But I understand that today we're also dedicating it to somebody else.
Yeah, my friend Adam, who I've known since high school, he recently lost his stepson. So, Austin, we miss you and we love you. And it's a tragedy when someone dies so young. But we're dedicating this one to Austin, who was a very kind man. He was a member of the Louisiana National Guard. But unfortunately, we lost him to a little bit too young. So, Austin, rest in peace, and this one's for you, pal.
My condolences, family, and Austin, this one's for you, as well as you, Jeff, and also to my friend, Mr. Jason Sensation.
May they all rest.
Well, Jason's alive and well. Jason's just recovering from recent heart surgery, but Jason's doing fine. But
very
still, because Jason's been so supportive of me, and I really want him. I really want to get him on this show, but Mark, we already have a program to where like we do this what if, and I feel like because we click so well with our love and our knowledge for pro wrestling that I feel like we got another program with worst wrestling matches ever, and our first one is gonna be Shawn Michaels versus Hulk Hogan, SummerSlam 2005. Now, I had to do extensive research on this one because I was only 12 years old when this match took place.
Well, considered by many wrestling fans, including myself, to be by far Shawn Michaels' worst match of his career, and that's absolutely probably true, although he did have one or two others that weren't that great when his younger career, but we'll talk about that another time. And considered by many to be Hulk Hogan's most match where he played the most politics, although I don't know how true this is because of the whole WCW era. But this was an awful match. I remember it very well. I remember watching it with all my... We were so excited about this match, me and my friends. We watched it at Matt's house. And we're like, oh, this is going to be killer. It's going to be, you know, the greatest guy of the 80s against one of the biggest stars of the 90s, and we got what we got.
You know, I gotta be honest with you. That summer was probably one of the most miserable of my life because of what was going on at home. But we don't gotta get about that. You know, the buildup of the match I think was great. I mean, the buildup and everything was fine, but the way the match went with HBK deliberately overselling. I mean, we saw it.
Brutal.
And there's just so much to the story because, number one, HBK had no problem with this match, but it didn't go the way he wanted because he did not want to turn heel. Let's not forget, HBK turned heel for this.
That's right.
And he didn't want to.
Well, there's a story behind that as well.
Yeah.
The original plan was supposed to be face against face and just to see if Shawn can hang with Hogan.
Right.
But Hogan being the politician that he is, and this is the start of Hogan's politics backstage and when he came back to WWE, he demanded a face versus heel.
He did.
He wanted traditional face versus heel. And that's when Vince and the creative team went to Shawn and said, we want you to be the Shawn Michaels of 1997. And he went, You know I'll tear him apart, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'll do to him. And according to Shawn Michaels' DVD, which I own, and according to all of the stories that I've read, Hogan was okay with everything that happened. And obviously he was being, obviously we all know how true that isn't, but that's just the start of the problems with this match. And what most people don't know, it was supposed to be a 3-match series.
Yeah,
which
trilogy.
Again,
yeah.
Which again, Hogan said he's not going to do.
Which, because from what I understand, Hogan had a back injury during that time. Because when Hogan was in his early 50s at the time, so a trilogy still could have happened. It just didn't have to happen as quick. But from what I understand, even in the trilogy, HBK did not mind losing the series. It's just, you know, now let's be honest. I mean, Hulk Hogan, as we know, with the ego, but let's be honest, HBK also had an ego as well. I mean, let's be honest, every big wrestler has an ego.
Yeah, but the problem is that you have to understand some. There are two versions of Shawn Michaels. The 1980s and 1990s, drugged up, I'm the best ego. You okay, bro?
Oh, yeah.
All right, cool. The 1990s to end of, to when he got injured with at the Royal Rumble against The Undertaker, that was Shawn Michaels' egotistical, I'm the greatest thing of all time. Fast forward 4 years, when he comes back, he's a whole different man.
Yeah.
He's not so much of a politician. He just wants to enjoy his career, you know, do what he does. And it was only supposed to be one time, but he signed for another couple of years. But Shawn really didn't play politics the second time around. The first time he did. The second time, not so much. And about Hogan's back, I got some news for you. One of the greatest matches at SummerSlam in 1991 took place. Bret Hart against Mr. Perfect. And guess what? Kurt Hennig had a bad back to that match also.
Really?
And he did the match with, yep. Hennig hurt his back, and he said, I will do it because it's Bret Hart. And they put on an Ultimate Classic.
They did, yeah. That's, I believe Bret Hart took the Intercontinental Championship.
Yes,
I believe that was his first reign as Intercontinental Champion.
Yes, and one of the greatest matches of all time. We'll get to that. That's a different point. But the point is, wrestlers have all worked injured and have still put on fantastic matches. Diamond Dallas Page, bad ribs for over a year. Worked with Savage. Worked with anybody you can think of. So I know wrestlers who have worked with torn ligaments and have put on tremendous matches. So Hogan just being a crybaby. I'm sorry, but Hogan's just being a baby.
Are you surprised?
So that's my opinion on that.
Are you surprised though?
No, I'm not. That's the other problem. I'm not surprised.
And 2005 was actually an interesting year in wrestling. I mean, Hogan that year got inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Shawn Michaels was arguably at the top of it, had been at a level he had not been before, and HBK had that hell of a match at WrestleMania with Kurt Angle.
Yes.
And he, no, and of course HBK put Kurt Angle over.
Then they had the rematch.
So
I thought the rematch was better, but that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know what? They had the rematch. You know, both matches were great. So,
yes,
so props to props to Kurt Angle and HBK, two of the greatest technicians in the business.
Oh, absolutely. The problem with Hogan is Hogan's not a technician.
Uh-huh.
Hogan's a brawler.
So right.
Anytime you put a technician against a brawler, you're gonna have a little bit. You're going to have some problems. But it was the politics that bothered everybody. And then we have the match, and as you said, Shawn, let's cover that a little bit. Shawn oversold everything. He really did. It was amazing.
Well, from what I understand, I mean, you know, there's been a lot of says, like, you know, that he oversold because he from what I understand, he allegedly wanted to make Hulk Hogan look bad. He already been doing that because, you know, remember in the buildup of this match, there was, you know, I'll never forget the promo that HBK did in Montreal. that time where he was with when he impersonated Hulk Hogan on a fake Larry King show, which I'll admit was hilarious. What HBK did in mocking Hulk Hogan, I won't lie, I laughed my butt off, and I'm sure that you did too.
I was on the floor I was still living at home when that happened. I wasn't married yet.
How old were you during that time, if you don't mind me asking?
I was in my 20s.
Okay, yeah, and I was only 12. I was about to go into seventh grade, where I unfortunately had the worst school year of my life.
My seventh grade was always stunk for me too.
Yeah, I hated seventh grade.
I was 23 actually.
Okay.
And I remember I was 23 or 24, and I remember just laughing so hard when HBK comes out with the walker. I'm a dinosaur, and brother. And he goes, Hulk, and that Hulk, are you a good guy or are you a bad guy? And it was the way that Sean tore him apart was actually the way that they tore apart that Ric Flair did it in WCW. But Rick wasn't kidding around. Sure, HBK was different story, but it's actually true. That's who Hogan is. And I know I'm going to take a beating for some of the Hulkamaniacs out there, because when he's in the ring, okay, I like the, okay. But when he's in the back, he's not the Hulk Hogan in the ring. Everybody loves him, you know, Hulkamaniac, blah, blah, blah. In the back, he actually believes that he's this character.
Right.
So, Hogan's been a politician apparently for years.
Yeah, like as HBK said, well, on camera, brother, I'm a great guy. But when that camera goes off, brother, it's a whole different other story, brother. Yeah.
Yeah. Like we said already, he tore him apart.
Right.
And I've never seen any promo like that where it's a comedy skit, but it's also true.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, the one in Montreal.
Yep.
Or not? I think shortly after HBK turned on Hogan and gave him the switch in music, I think HBK was also on Piper's Pit, and then he also gave Piper the switch in music. Which someone asked me, because, you know, again, Piper was one of Hogan's enemies back then. I mean, remember the first ever main event of WrestleMania, which was one hell of a match.
Sure.
So that they get Piper involved, supposedly, then even Jerry Lawler. So they really wanted to make HBK go through that heel run as much as possible.
He was so long.
And I apologize for the coughing, by the way.
Hmm?
And I apologize for all the coughing, by the way.
It's fine. Everybody knows. It's fine. We all know what you're going through. It happens. But the problem here is that HBK was a face for so long when he returned.
Yeah. Love
the whole, you know, he had so many incredible matches. Then we turn him heel because Hogan wants him to. It was a horrible move for wrestling, because first of all, the crowd never bought HBK as a heel anyway, number one at the time. Number two, the crowd was, if you watch the match, it was 60-40 for Shawn Michaels. So the crowd absolutely hated this match. They really did.
Well, they weren't happy.
When you have the biggest star of the 80s and probably one of the top five stars of the 90s in the ring against each other, and they get booed out of the building, you know we did something wrong.
You think?
And they did a lot wrong in this one. But I understand why Hogan was so upset. HBK was so upset. He did not want to do it this way.
No.
And Hogan has to understand something. You were gone since 1993 until now. You were gone. You were in the enemy camp for what, 12, 15 years?
Well, something like that. Keep in mind, this was not Hulk Hogan's first return to the company. It was second one. His first one was in 2002.
Right, so it was about 8 years. You're gone eight years. You come back and demand that it's my ring. With Triple H, Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker, Kurt Angle, the Dudleys, the Hardys.
Yeah.
All the people that put WCW out of business. You're now going to dare tell us that this is your locker room? Because the APA was in there. You're not going to tell them this is your locker room. You were gone for 8 years, pal. Don't try that here. And that's why I think Sean was so mad, was because he wanted to Vince that that's my ring. He hasn't done anything. And we're doing this my way.
Yeah.
And if I was Vince, I would have told him, only in your dreams.
I think I know why how Hulk Hogan had more of a leverage, because again, Hulk Hogan was had become a Hall of Famer that year.
Okay. Ric Flair was a Hall of Famer. How many matches did he lose?
Ric Flair did business.
Rey Mysterio is in the Hall of Fame. He has agreed to let his, in storyline wise, not only to let his son turn on him, but to have him run away from Raw and go to a different show because of the whole Dominic thing. Kurt Angle's a Hall of Famer. Agreed to lose how many matches?
He lost the last one.
Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy, the Dudleys, Edge and Christian, all Hall of Famers. The difference between them and Hogan, they're not politicians. Hogan is. And politics and wrestling is a big pain in the ass. Excuse the language, but it is.
I mean, you're not wrong. Backstage politics has caused so many problems. I mean, for God's sake, Sting versus Triple H? Sting should have won the match.
Well, that's on the list as well, by the way, on this show. We'll talk about that later. But politics has always hurt the business. WCW was religiously playing. This is where Hogan learned it, by the way. WCW is religiously playing politics. And to me, that is where Hogan learned this nonsense from. So the fact it was such a bad match is all on Hogan. And Hogan has to live with, he'll deny it, but Hogan has to live with that factor.
See, as I mentioned, the science of the story, I mean, Jim Ross believes that despite everything like that, Jim Ross believes that they had a great match. Now, I'm not going to argue with Jim Ross because he sees wrestling different than we do. I mean, he's the greatest announcer of all time. Eric Bischoff actually said that because of Michaels' behavior, he said that he lost respect for Michaels.
I don't know if Jim Ross knew the full story between Hogan and Michaels and Vince McMahon. I'm not going to speak bad about Jim because, to me, you would say that he's the greatest of all time. I'm going to say it's Gorilla Monsoon.
All right.
But two different generations of wrestling, obviously.
Yeah.
I love JR's work, but for him to say there was a great match, I think he did that as the character of JR, not the actual person of Jim Ross. I think it was his talking out of his character because he has to say that. So, do I think it was a great match under no circumstances? No way.
Again, the overselling was just...
David Meltzer, who was the premier of all of professional wrestling, he gave the match 1.5 stars.
And can I ask you this? Are they lucky the fact that he actually gave him 1 star?
They gave him 1.5. He was lucky. I thought Meltzer was gonna give them less than that, and I would have.
Yeah.
I think he was thinking mercy because it was Sean.
Yeah. Because the sad part is, Mark, is that this match could have easily been one of the greatest if it had only been done right. I think if it was babyface versus babyface, like Hogan and Ultimate Warrior in the first one,
absolutely,
it would be a masterpiece. And you know, and of course, speaking of Hogan versus Warrior, yes, folks, we know about the Halloween Havoc '98. It's on the list. And you mentioned we talked about Hulk Hogan, and people say like, how many guys did Hulk Hogan ever put over in his career? Aside from Warrior in 91 or in 90, and then The Rock in 2002,
Goldberg 98.
Mhm. And of course, when he dropped the belt to Goldberg.
A lot of people say Kidman, but I don't believe that Kidman was already over.
Yeah, so, Because when people will say, Alex, keep in mind the list, the track record of how many guys Hogan actually was willing, more than willing to put over, there is no positive track record. It's overall, it's overly negative.
I wouldn't say overly negative, but I will say this. He was also scared to wrestle people, but we're getting a little off topic here. But
yeah.
So he was very scared of Bret Hart. He would never get in the ring against Bret Hart, knowing that Bret Hart would probably kill him.
Yeah, because of the legitimate issues between the two.
Yes. He didn't want to get in the ring with Austin when Austin was in WWE because he was afraid of Austin, which is understandable. I would be too.
I think that was the original plan for WrestleMania 18 was going to be Hollywood Hogan versus Stone Cold. At least yes. I believe that's what Vince originally wanted.
Yes. And then thankfully enough, we got The Rock instead of Austin, but that was a different story.
Right.
So they also did something else that was a no-no in this match. By 2005, there was no blood. Remember, they had the blood rule. Remember, no blood.
Yeah.
Remember,
no blading.
Except one of them bled.
Uh-huh. And it was not HBK.
Nope. Hogan broke the blood rule, which was another problem, which everybody was like, "What is he doing?" When you break the blood rule, and he got fined heavily for it, by the way.
Did he?
Yes.
Oh, did not know that.
Don't break the blood rule.
If Vince says no, then it's what?
It's an absolute no. And they broke so many rules in this match. And the big one was that they broke the no blood rule. I mean, we've had Hell in the Cell match with no blood. We've had War Games with no blood.
Yeah.
Who the hell's Hogan to bleed all of a sudden? Now, mind you, now before anybody says anything, yes, I know about WrestleMania 19, where both Hogan and Vince bled, but Vince gave the okay for that one.
Right.
Because that was Vince spilling his own blood.
And obviously, because I think it was a street fight.
It was a street fight.
Which, of course, it was a street fight. I mean, that's Mr. McMahon's. Well, actually, no, not street fight. In Mr. McMahon's words, no holds barred.
Right. Same thing.
Yeah. But Vince prefers no holds barred. So, yeah. Now all of a sudden, it's kind of like I'm paying tribute to Vince. I'm like, no. No.
Well, you know, the match itself was awful. It was booed out of the building. I know that they turned Sean back after because of the whole you know, handshake and hug thing. But
yeah.
It was still. If you're gonna watch that SummerSlam, don't watch this match. Obviously, I mean, it wasn't that great of a card. Number one, it really wasn't a good show at all. Number one, but at the same time, I think this could have saved a bad pay per view. But they chose not to. Hogan chose to be a politician, and Sean was just angry, and he oversold. I remember the whole boot thing where Hogan hit the boot, and Sean does the whole 180. I think it was 180 he did outside of the ring, and, you know, he goes on. He's on the top rope, and Hogan punts him, and he jumps like 50 feet in the air. And, I mean, you can rip this match apart if you wanted to. Hogan hits him with the clothesline, and Sean does the whole 360 and just pretends to be knocked out. It was just god awful. And Hogan didn't even sell the Sweet Chin Music after Sean hit it. Hogan did a bad job of selling the Sweet Chin Music. So, as a matter of fact, I don't even think Sean connected, if I remember the match correctly. I think he missed. I think he hit him like right here, and Hulk just went backwards.
The whole match just. Again, it's like one thing going wrong, and then, like, it's almost as if both guys said, oh, F this.
I think by the time they got to the ring, they just saw this as two very different views. I wish that they would have sat down with each other and said, okay, here's what we're going to have. I'm sure that they talked about it, but not to the extent of where they sat down and they wrote everything down like Hulk did with Andre. Or Savage did with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. I don't think that they went that far. I think they talked about it, and then they just said the hell with it and just went for it. And we got the result that we got.
Because immediately after that, we didn't even see Hogan on TV after SummerSlam. And then Shawn Michaels immediately got embroiled in a feud with Chris Masters.
Well, that's a whole different ballgame, but...
Yeah, because the reason why I mentioned it is because, you know, you go from that, then all of a sudden, Michaels is immediately faced again. He's in a program with Chris Masters. Then we don't see Hogan until next year. We had that match against Randy Orton at the SummerSlam, which he, of course, politicked about that, but...
That's a whole different monster, but yeah.
Yeah, well, you see, because you know, this match, I mean, the whole point in these in this particular match, because of how horrible it was, when there's two egos that collide, and one of them is wants to do what's best for the fans, wants to do what's best for the company, while the other only cares about himself, and we all know who's who.
Oh yeah. And you have
and honestly, HBK has been honest enough to admit that he regrets his actions.
Well, HBK said after the interview he did regret the match. Hogan, if you ask Hogan, Hogan will tell you Togo that we did fine. If you ask HBK, he'll tell you it was a disaster and it was his fault, which is not entirely true. They were both at fault, but this is what happens, as you said, when you have a politician against a non-politician. So, Hogan is a huge politician, HBK not so much.
But at least one of them is willing to admit his faults and admit that his behavior did not help the cause.
No.
One of them, of course, is just, you know, still, you know, flexing the ego muscles.
One of them cannot let go of the fact that at this point he was 55 years, he was 50-some-odd years old. And the other guy was in his 30s, and the other guy was in his 40s.
Right.
So, but that's Hogan in a nutshell.
It is.
If you listen to Ric Flair about when he talked about the NWO and WCW, what do you always say about Hogan Nash, and Hall? They were bad for business. All they wanted was politics, and all they wanted to do was make money. They did not care about the company. They did not care about the fans, and I absolutely believe it.
Yeah. Well, listen, in WCW case, from what I understand, Kevin Nash and Hogan were a huge part of the booking committee, which means they had immense power. And as we said, when you let the inmates run the asylum...
That's what happened here.
Mm-hmm.
Vince let one inmate run the asylum, and you know, and the other one had to eat it.
Yeah.
And I will say this, if you're wondering about the fan base of this match, everybody who watched this match at Matt's house hated it. Absolutely hated it. We couldn't wait for this disaster to end. We always say that there's some sort of popcorn match or whatever. This was the popcorn match. We were all excited about it. Then they got into it, and then we're like, what? Okay. Anybody want an extra Twinkie or anybody want an extra soda or something like that? Because this match is awful. Trying to pay attention to this match was just horrible.
Do you know how our friend Ricky reacted to this match?
Sure, he was horrified. He hated it.
So was he like visibly upset?
He was saying that it was oversold and he can't believe how bad the match was. He's looking forward to it. And I really can't speak for him because he's not here, but I will say this, he was very angry. Like the rest of us, he was not happy.
I feel like also Jeff, who of course this episode is dedicated to his memory, I feel like Jeff too must have been very, very disappointed.
Well, Jeff, like me, grew up a Hulkamaniac. And then Jeff walked away from wrestling because he got sick and tired of it. When he came back, he couldn't wait to see this one. And his answer was, what happened? He could not believe what he was watching. He was annoyed. I'll put it to you that way. We were living together at the time. We were still living in my dad's house. And I remember going home And I said, was it me or was that one of the worst SummerSlams ever? He goes, yeah, it's gotta be in top five. It was just awful, awful, awful. And we were very upset about it. We really were.
Man, I don't blame you. I mean, again, I was only 12, so obviously I did not watch the match because, you know, I couldn't get pay-per-view, but...
Well, our friend Matt had pay-per-view, so we were able to watch it.
I mean, and also, as I look at the card, I mean, I'll never forget, I think Batista defended the title against JBL in a no-holds-bar match. I think the best match on the card was Rey Mysterio versus the late Eddie Guerrero for the ladder match. And also, I think also it was Randy Orton versus The Undertaker. You see, at least one guy put the young guy over. The Undertaker put Orton over in this one.
But Undertaker's done that his whole career.
Yeah. So at least there was some good in a pay-per-view that overall is rejected.
Well, look at what Undertaker did with Mankind. Look at their feud was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Randy Orton became main after shoot The Undertaker. And yeah. Also Mankind. Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero was a great match, but there was a huge botch in it. Vicky Guerrero, Mr. Q.
Oh, that's right.
So as great as that match was, there was a miscue in that match. So, like I said, bad show all around.
Yeah, and bad show overall. Yeah.
And you can hear Eddie screaming, where the blank is Vicky.
Oh, yeah.
So, and yes, before anybody asks, it's been edited out of the Peacock Network, and I actually checked. It is not in the Peacock Network. It has been edited. They didn't want any girl. Look, they didn't want any girl to insult his wife. So they edited that part out. But you can honestly see that it was a botch.
Obviously.
So.
Oh.
Botches happened, but this was just a bad one.
It was, and I'm sure in the match, Hogan versus HBK, there were botches in that one, too.
Oh, about a million six. A million six. But. If you watch the match, you can clearly see where the botches were. So, how would you rate this? I rate A, B, C, D, E, and F, and of course F and F minus, but how would you rate this match, sir?
I would go with a C minus.
You're too kind. I gave it an F.
I think it's because, well, I think because in my case, again, when the match happened, I was not an educated fan like I am today. I think it's because when I first got to see the match, you know, on the DVD that my friend lent me. Yeah, I think that's why, because I think it's the first time I saw it or how I saw wrestling then. Because I can't deny that the fan I used to be. I mean, we all used to be like that, so. I think so, but if I had watched it as a 25-year-old, well-educated wrestling fan, I would have given the same grade that you did. I think it just goes because we engage from a certain perspective in a situation from when we first saw the match. So, yeah, as a 12-year-old, obviously, I would have thought the match was cool because I didn't know that. I thought HBK was just doing that because it was on the script or whatever. I had no idea. I mean, again, I didn't even know back then of these backstage politics, all that. I wasn't aware of it at the time. So,
well, when you're 12, the only thing you care. When you're 12, the only thing you care about is, you're starting to get into girls, you're starting to get into sports, and more important than that, you want to know when's the next one.
That's exactly. Exactly. You
don't worry about when you're 12.
Right. So yeah, I mean, I just there was just so much I did not know what was going on. So.
You know, but, 23 is a different ballgame, but...
Yeah. But overall, I think now, I mean, this match is just so bad, but... It's definitely one of the worst out there, but... There are definitely a lot of matches that were worse than this one. I feel like this match was the great way to start this program on the show.
Absolutely. It was not the worst on our list. I'll put it to you that way. There have been so many that are on this list that is by far worse than this, but this definitely was on the list, and this was just the first one. We've completed it.
Yeah.
We're not going to read off our... You and I each have our own different lists of what matches there are. Mine's probably a little bit older than yours because I've been around a little bit longer. No offense to me.
Well, you know, and honestly, because you know, you're a well-educated, passionate wrestling fan, Mark, so...
Thank
yeah.
you.
And I was going to say, if anybody listening to the show, if there's a particular match that you want us to talk about, let us know.
Absolutely.
I mean, the world knows, obviously, that Halloween Havoc 98, the rematch between Warrior and Hogan, is on the list.
Yes.
That's obvious. That, I mean, a lot of fans know that's like that's got to be considered the worst match of all time.
It's the worst match. It's one of the worst matches in the history of WCW, and is one of the probably the worst match in both their careers, and that's saying a lot.
See, and it's sad, too, because Halloween Havoc had arguably the worst wrestling match of all time, but also had one of the best in Goldberg and DDP.
Yeah, but you have to understand, a lot of people didn't see that match because WCW didn't finish the show in time, and a lot of people missed it.
Because the broadcast feed, they were having problems with the broadcast. I mean, things were so bad, they actually had to give refunds. They had to actually give refunds to the people who ordered the show.
Yes, they did. We got lucky. We actually were able to finish the show and watch the match. It was a great match. The problem was, though, after watching Hogan versus Warrior, everybody's wanted to go home. So,
yeah.
But DDP Goldberg was phenomenal. But where we're going to go next, we're not sure yet. Maybe we'll do the Havoc match next. But for now, Alex, as we said, this was an awful match. By far, far the worst match in HBK's career. By far.
Yeah. And, you know, we like to keep things positive. If for those of you wondering why are we kind of doing this Worst Wrestling Matches program, it's to kind of show just how we see the business, how, like, you know, there's great matches and there's bad matches, but it's to kind of show that when you're an educated wrestling fan like us, with all that knowledge and passion, we have to speak about how these negative matches affect us with our status as wrestling fans. And honestly, it's more content because, you know, again, we can't just do day-to-day news. I mean, everybody wants to know, like, Alex, are you going to do a full episode on what's going on with Vince? Look, I'd like to, but the problem is right now there's only so much that we know. When this whole thing is concluded and there's – because let's be honest, Brock Lesnar is not the only guy allegedly involved. I know there's other names. So right now there's just really not much to talk about, and it's not worth doing a whole episode on because all we know is what we know, and – this is Vince's second resignation. The first time it was for sexual misconduct. Now this is a sex trafficking, so it's worse. But so
much worse.
Yeah. So like I said, look, as I said, look, I'll never discredit Vince for the good that he's done, but he needs to pay for these allegations. So for now, these are allegations. We gotta wait till the conclusion of this whole thing. But like I said, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But in the meantime, a reminder that Ringside Chaos is available anywhere you get your podcasts. So here's what I need you to do. Here's what we need you to do is for you to hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell, because Mark and I want to be sure that you're not going to be missing out on any exciting upcoming content.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you very, very much, ladies and gentlemen. Mark, thank you very much again for joining me. Can't wait to have you back on. And again, for those of you, if there's any particular worst wrestling match you'd like us to talk about, let us know and we'll make it happen.
Or if you want us to talk about one of the greatest wrestling matches of all time, we will gladly do that. And
another great program for the show.
There's a whole list out there, and I've been to plenty of them. So
That's why we love having you on, Mark.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much again, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see y'all next time.
Yep.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.